Thank you for joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something and where we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. I am Ms. Shannon, joined as ever and as always by my friend and co-host Jaden Satia as we broadcast from the Twin Cities Film Fest studio. Hello, Jay.
Hey.
And I just said forever and always, but I missed you last episode. You left me hanging.
Yeah, I had some work to do.
I know. You were off being official.
Yeah, as much official as I can be. I had a work trip that I had to go to, so thanks for kind of making it happen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I missed the con, but yeah. I'll get them next time.
For anybody who did not hear our last episode, we did have the opportunity to do a live version of Be Our Geek on the road. We were at Console Room 2019, the local fan-run Doctor Who convention in town. So since Jayton was busy, I had two of our friends who were kind enough to help us out. So our friend and author, Mr. Taylor Sisko, and then our friend and comic book artist extraordinaire, Christopher Jones, came and helped me out. So it was a good time. So we got to talk to two of them. We had some great stories about some of the guests of honor that were at the Doctor Who convention, Jayton. So you could have schmoozed with some of the Doctor Who companions if you weren't off working.
I was thinking about it. You were in my... well wishes, I suppose.
Thank you.
I'm glad it went well.
Thank you, and I'm glad that everything went well for you as well.
The show sounded great, so kudos to the two special guests that joined us, and maybe they can just take my job.
No, you are not replaceable.
Oh.
You can occasionally take a vacation if you need to, but in general, you're stuck with me.
You can too, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you.
The weeks that you take the vacation, we just won't have a show.
Oh, okay, is that how it works? So you can bail, but if I'm here, there's no show. Well, today is going to be fun, Jayden, because I don't know why it took us so long to get around to doing this, because we do have a guest geek on every episode.
Yeah.
And so we have somebody who's the expert in their field or just a big fan of a certain thing, and they come on and they talk about whatever they geek out about.
Correct.
And so we do talk about the Twin Cities Film Fest very often that you are the executive director of, so
yep.
We have a lot of Twin Cities Film Fest stories. But how has it taken us so long to have our friend and your partner in crime, the managing director of the Twin Cities Film Fest, Bill Cooper, honors our guest geek? What were you and I just slipping? Did we figure he was busy?
Moments, even when the best is a family member and the best is a friend, you just don't want to hang around with them anymore.
Oh, boom. I wasn't going to go
this
there.
This was not the case with Bill Cooper. You didn't let me finish.
Okay.
I hang out with this. with him all day, every day.
you're going to make him quit.
But, you know, life gets busy. And, yeah, I see Bill every single day. And you know how it is? Like, you talk about a certain thing every single day. And
right.
You forget that we truly geek out about this stuff.
Right.
Like, we're truly living our passion here with the Twin Cities Film Fest and every single person that works with our organization. And, again, passions within the industry. Some people are extremely passionate about sound design, extremely passionate about directing, extremely passionate about networking with the professionals and screenwriting. And literally the first time I met our special guest today was on a film set.
Right.
Essentially. And we were both actors.
Yes.
And we always geek out about acting. And so to answer your question, why has it taken us so long? And you've known Bill
forever.
Years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not like my fault. You didn't bring him up either.
Oh, now listen. Oh, look, you're just deflecting. You got your Wonder Woman bracelets on, Jayden. Look at you. You're like, bling.
I need that week off to get my mojo
back. Am I going to get to say anything?
Hello, Bill.
They're kind of geeking out about me, and I'm like, okay.
So, everyone, we are happy to introduce to you our friend, the managing director of the Twin Cities Film Fest, Mr. Bill Cooper. He's an amazing actor. Your IMDb page is just banging. Thank you very much.
It is.
You are also one of the foremost acting teachers and instructors here in the Twin Cities, so thank you for joining us.
I'm so glad to be
Bill's
here. Are you kidding me?
I've been only doing acting for the last, 80 years?
35 years. 35. Yeah, it's been 35 years, and I can still use my first headshot.
Well done.
Should you use your first headshot?
Oh, no, that's not a good thing.
Everyone can go to his website. It's BillCooper.com, and you can see all of the headshots he has. He has the actor headshot, like the mojo just working so intensely. You have the steely blue eyes, that's your penetrating eyes.
True.
You have the lips slightly aghast, slightly parted.
You guys don't know. Those are the tricks and trade that.
Oh my gosh, that's the don't mess with me.
Right, he's that just hi.
Every look has a purpose.
I'm thinking of the sort of the Chicago PD look. There's one of those on there, I think, because most of the time I get cast as like a minister, nice guy, teacher. Little do they know I'm a holy terror sometimes.
Oh, listen to that. I've heard him every once in a while get a little sassy. It's usually like two Cabernets in. Like two, like, once you, once Bill's two Cabernets in, I'm like, oh, things are going to get interesting.
I get agreeable. That's how I got involved in the festival. We split a bottle of wine, and oh my God, he took advantage of me.
Now,
and if somebody's going to take advantage of me, it better be more than a film festival.
I know. You're like, how did I get sucked into this? What did you put in my wine, Jaden Satia? But you've been with Jaden, because we are coming up on our 11th year now of the Twin Cities Film Fest, right?
11th year since I first got the organization up and running, but 10th year of the festival. So this is our 10-year anniversary.
And Bill, how did you get sucked into it at the beginning? Because I know this was like you two at the... I remember you guys telling me the stories about when you had so few submissions that it was just the two of you watching all of these and trying to decide what you were going to screen.
Yeah, well, you know, as Jaden said, we go back a long way as actors, and we kept kind of seeing each other on shoots and different things. We had some films together, short films together at a film event, and we sort of reconnected, and I ran into him one time, and he said, yeah, I just got done being a doctor, and I needed a doctor for a film I was working on. I was like, hey, you want to be a doctor? And actually, I was directing, and I was the patient.
Okay.
And Naomi Dahlgren, who works for our festival, was actually my assistant on this thing. And so we did this short film. And then a little later on, he was like, hey, we're on a shoot. And he said, hey, you want to go out for drinks afterwards? And literally split a bottle of wine, gnarly dudes, at Triggs. And he said,
the name of the bottle of the wine, though.
That gnarly was true, dudes. But we're gnarly dudes. We're awesome gnarly and dudes. He leaned across and he says, I really need to tell you something, but you can't say anything. And I was like, oh, my God, what is this? Is he, you know, what's going on? And
did you think he was hitting on you? Did you actually, like he was like
well, I knew he was married and I was sort of partnered and
but we're all in the arts.
You know what? I was ready for anything after a bottle of wine. And
yeah.
And he said, you know what, I want to talk to you about this and if you could keep it under wraps, and he told me about it and I took a deep breath and I said, get another bottle of wine. And at the bottom of the second, at the end of the second bottle, I said, I'll give you 5 years.
Nice.
That is the totally absolute did. Truth. I said, I'll give you 5 years because he's a good business guy and
right.
and an idea guy. And I'm kind of an organized guy and knew a lot of people. And that's how the marriage started. And it is kind of like a marriage. We pretty much share.
He's given me way more than five.
I have. Did we even talk after five? I don't even remember.
We just kept going.
I think we just kept kind of going.
It was growing, and we had good people around us, and there was momentum. And you know how it is. If you're the leader of an organization or leader of a group, you're not the smartest person there. What you're really good at is grabbing other people who are smarter than you in specific.
So you're saying I'm smarter.
I think, you know you are smarter. I'm up here doing my own thing on the side.
Yeah, but we're still actors at heart.
It's a great team.
Right.
Oh my
you
God.
Know, like Jane just got a check today and we geeked out about getting a paycheck.
Totally. Yeah.
And I'm as soon as I'm done here, I run off and I'm casting a feature film. So we're still workers. We're still people in the business. We just happened to spend an enormous amount of time helping you build the film community by film exhibition and education and all the other good things we do.
Because that was where the first place I met you as well, Bill, is we were on a shoot together.
Oh, I know.
Kind of thing.
I was a patient in that one.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, you play ill very well, Mr. Cooper.
They did have
He looked like he was talking about having heart palpitations. He's like, I can't breathe.
Think back. Yeah. You're old too, but remember, I was in a running suit because I was a very athletic, middle-aged guy whose heart started hurting when he was running.
Running?
God, that was an ugly running suit.
It was very neon-ish. There was a lot of things going on.
It had like elastic around the ankles. It was not something I would have picked.
So a question, right, from an acting standpoint, and if any of the listeners, again, we have listeners all across the country, so there's people from L.A. listening and New York and Chicago, but there's a lot of people here in Minnesota that listen to us, and I get these questions all the time. Can you actually make a living acting here in the Twin Cities? And you've been doing it for 35 years. And so talk a little bit about the fact that the craft exists here. There is work here. And it's not all glitz and glamour with like studio films. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know what? I would actually say, you know, a lot of times people, when you say you're an actor, they say, well, why don't I know you?
Right.
Because so many actors are like on the front of People Magazine and Entertainment Tonight. And so there's that small group of actors everybody knows. And that's an important thing, much like elite athletes or any of that kind of stuff. But the reality is there's so many more working horse sort of actors, the ones that do voiceovers and print stuff and marketing things and spokesperson stuff, that's a whole group of actors that doesn't necessarily get the recognition, but it pays your mortgage if
right.
if you balance out a good product and if you balance it with a good business. Mm-hmm. And because we live in a metro area in Minnesota, but in a particular metro area with a lot of Fortune 500 companies, we've all worked for them.
Right.
Best Buy, Target, Medtronic, National Car, Toro. We just work for these. So if you want to be an actor day in and day out, that doesn't mean you act every day, but if you want to keep working at your craft, if you're willing to do commercials.
Right.
If you're willing to do a little video on a website and not think of, I'm doing this to get an Academy Award someday. If you're doing it,
and it's not always indie film. Sometimes it's, I'm talking about United Healthcare.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Well, and having done this for so long, you know, years ago I used to be, you know, like the first-time home buyer and the
yes.
young executive. And then pretty soon you're the mid-management. And then you're father of the bride. And then now I'm hearing aids. You all saw my picture of me come falling out of a chair, the
yeah.
lift chair?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my age
well,
is like,
I've seen you on commercials in L.A. when I'm traveling.
Oh, completely.
And I've texted you like, oh, my God, Bill, I just saw you in the Hurricane commercial.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good thing. But you know what? Matthew McConaughey does commercials.
Right.
Charlize Theron does commercials. Right. Sean Penn does it. Commercial is good money.
Right.
If we don't think of it as like, okay, we're going to change the world and change some social relevance, but take it for its work. You
right.
know, just take the work. So that's how
yeah.
many of us have been able to sort of parlay sort of the little here, big things, small things, and then hopefully along the way, for instance, I'm in a webisode in February, you know, that's something that pays a smaller amount of money, but it's interesting, it's a good filmmaker, a project I kind of want to work on, and so those come along every once in a while, but it's not what pays your bills every month necessarily. So
we are going to get some more great information from our guest geek this week, Bill Cooper. And we are also going to, I thought this would be fun because the Academy Award nominations are coming out on Tuesday. So
yes,
the Tuesday next week from when we are actually doing this episode. So I thought it'd be fun to have you two as our film experts.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
Make your guesses on what films will end up on that Academy Awards nominee list. So we're going to cover that with
actors and supporting actors, the whole thing.
Yeah, so we're going to cover
I'm
that.
Ready for that.
And we're going to get some more information from Bill Cooper about what it's like being an actor and then also what it's like to be an acting instructor when we return here on Be Our Geek. Welcome back to Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something. Again, I'm Ms. Shannon. Jayden Satia is here as we broadcast from the Twin Cities Film Fest studio. And you already had a chance to kind of get to know this week's guest geek, Mr. Bill Cooper. Again, you can find all his info at BillCooper.com. So, Bill, so you've been acting for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make that transition and go, I'm going to not only be an actor, I'm going to help other people be better actors and start doing workshops and being an instructor?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you asked because actually it's been a really incredible, as I look back at the last 15 years or so that I've been a coach, it's been a really rewarding thing to do. And I actually never planned on it necessarily.
Okay.
It just sort of happened. I had an acting colleague who was teaching a workshop at the time for an organization. And she said, hey, they're looking for substitutes. I have to miss once in a while. Could you just come in and substitute?
Okay.
And when you first get in the business, and I was having some success, everybody and their brother was like, I want to get into this. Can I take you out for drinks? Can I take you out for coffee? And you'd find yourself one-on-one with these people over and over again, and you're like, I remember I was working for a cable company producing stuff, and about five people asked about it, and I was like, let's all meet after work one day, and I'll show you my headshots. Just take care of all this stuff.
Right.
So I just started out as subbing for a person, and the school at the time said, do you want to start your own classes? Because I had a sort of affinity for it, and
right.
when you spend as much time as you have on as I have on sets and auditioning over the years, and I decided I did a little for the school, and I was kind of like, they actually had me write curriculum, and I was like, why am I doing this for somebody else?
Right.
I want to do it myself. So I talked to my partner at the time and said, hey, I start teaching a little bit in the lower level of our house, and less than a year later I got my own space studio, and it's happened ever since. It's really rewarding when I sit and watch movies and I'm like, that's my student. That's my student.
Oh,
that's
wonderful.
My student.
Or you go to commercials.
Commercials. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I go out to L.A. and I'll connect with 30 or 40 of the kids, mm-hmm. adults that I've helped. It's really, really rewarding.
So when people are coming to your classes, Bill, is mm-hmm. it kind of a similar thing to, I have friends that take improv classes, and sometimes they want to just be better at life, and sometimes
yep.
they're like, this is a skill that I need to use
yep.
every day. So is that kind of with acting? Is there ever people that are like, I'm just going to be a hobbyist and always need it?
I think there's, number one, I like to help, you know what, I help people in general, just an FYI, because my background is not only acting, it's also in communications and things, public speaking and that kind of stuff. I actually coach stand-up comics, mm-hmm. ministers, public speakers, opera singers.
Wow, okay.
That are trying to emote more. Now, the bread and butter is actors,
okay.
but people want to become better at communicating, so they'll come to me.
Right.
You know, what? The way I always look at it is this. My job isn't necessarily to take someone and send them, figure out what journey they should go on. I try to work with someone, and if all they have time is to do this part-time, a little beer and retirement money or something,
right.
I'll try and help them move them forward in this community with the kind of skills that they have. A lot of people come and they say, hey, I want to be here for a while, you know, get my a little background, and eventually want to go to another market.
Okay.
And I'm like, I can maybe help you prepare for all of that as well. The big thing for me, however, when I start working with someone is I always talk about, I'm not here to do it for you. I'm
okay.
here to help shepherd you through the process. I can get you on the porch, but I can't get you in the house.
Okay.
And so the couple things that drive me crazy when I first meet people are people that's like, I want to be an actor so I can be rich and famous. And I love to be the center of attention. And
yeah.
I pretty much, that makes me just cringe
right.
because it's not why any of us should really be doing anything. We should be doing it because we like doing it. And if it leads to that, you know, to be a famous chef or to be a famous author, whatever it is, we should do what we like and see where it takes us.
It sounds like it would be really depressing if you set out with that motivation, because
well, I mean, it's worked for
everyone.
Me.
Can't
I mean,
be.
I only wanted to do it because I wanted to be on the Academy Awards, just accepting the award, and I think I'm on my way. So I'd have to say,
I know. I was just trying to get Jayden to get on the, just get us on the, I want to be able to vote. Like, so I'm like, you just need to get big enough
yeah.
that we get to vote, Jayden. Just
enough.
Work on that.
Well, and again, as people who watch a lot of films and stuff, you know, unfortunately, films that have a big budget and all that can promote the heck out of films that so millions and millions of people see them. But we see the most fantastic performances done in films that are made for $30,000
right.
or $300,000. So, you know, it's a group of people voting on their peers. I always tell my students that move to L.A. or wherever, I say, if you ever make it on the Academy Awards, nominate for an Oscar or get to make a speech, don't forget to say my name.
Like, write that one down.
After you thank a spouse or a loved one or a significant
and
other.
And a deity.
You yeah. know, thank any, all that kind of stuff. But don't forget Bill Cooper.
But don't do it when the music is starting.
Yeah,
do
really.
It before.
Yeah, I don't want to be. No, I always figure, you know, or people will say, I wouldn't have moved out here without you, or I wouldn't have be where I am without you. And I always, that makes me really crazy because I'm like, I don't want to. You know, if it doesn't go good, I don't want to be part of that. If it goes really good, I don't necessarily have to be part of that either. So
okay.
I try to equip people to find their journey, find their passion, create an environment for people to learn and grow. If it goes great, if they come up and after one session, I've had people say, so do you think I can make it?
Wow.
And you're like, what's make it?
You're absolutely right.
Maybe.
Let's make it.
You know, or they'll commiserate over one audition or one project. I'm like, listen. It's salespeople don't think about one sales call. You
right.
think of the long haul. It's not one audition, one scene, one relationship. You know, you want to do the best you can as you go, put something together. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, but it's starting a business. So if you don't think of it as starting a business, you're not starting out.
Bill,
the right
do you have
attitude.
A favorite genre?
Oh yeah, I
okay.
love character-driven dramas.
Okay,
character-driven dramas. It maybe it's because that's sort of the kind of stuff that I end up getting work on.
Okay.
But character-driven dramas.
Okay. See, I think that's
what's one of your favorite, because you have different types of classes you teach. There's
yes.
audition tag. There's
yep,
other,
audition
so
techniques. And
what's one study. Of your favorite classes to teach, and why is that?
well, I have to say, two obvious things come to my mind. I teach an advanced film scene study class, which means everybody in the class is there and they're invited to be there. I don't teach that class for anybody that hasn't worked with me up to a certain point.
Okay.
So by then I've already tuned into who this person is, what they're capable of, or what I think they're capable of. It's also a class where we swear a lot, we kiss, we get violent. I bring in a fight choreographer. So it's a class that through me and the collaborative nature of everybody in there, everybody just moves into a whole new place because you just thrust them in the middle of this. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very fun. But I would also say, I don't teach this class very often, but I really love teaching write, act, direct.
Okay.
And that's a class where you pretty much take actors who also maybe have an interest in writing and or directing, much like Jodie Foster, mm-hmm. much like Bradley Cooper. You know, I think all of us over time, I mean, I write my own monologues and stuff. So it's, again, a class where everyone has to write stuff, act in stuff, and direct stuff. The more you know, the better you are with the whole process. So I also love teaching that class. I just don't teach it very often because you really have to have the right people, and it takes a heck of a lot of time.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, just people are – every week they're writing, and then they're casting, and then you – everybody makes little short films. It's a crazy great class.
Who's one of your favorite actors of all time?
Of all time? Tom Hanks.
Oh, why?
Oh, why?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple reasons. Number one, I think, first of all, when we start picking favorites, or even when anybody goes to a movie, you tend to pick someone that you're most like.
Okay.
If you're a teenager, you'll kind of, ooh, what's the teenager doing? If you're an older person, you what are the older people doing?
Right.
Tom Hanks is probably 1 or 2 years either older or younger than I am. I'm not sure.
Right.
But this actor, he's got range. He's easy. I understand he's easy to work with. If you look at his resume, he just doesn't have a bad movie.
Right.
I go to a movie with him in it, and I always feel Sully. I cried like crazy. Back-to-back Oscars. I just think he's the epitome of a great actor.
So let's look at let's get kind of like bookends of one. What movie would you pick that you think has just amazing acting in it? And then we're going to follow up with what's a movie that you're like, this movie is so overrated, the acting is terrible.
Like of all time?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Ask that question again.
Okay, so we'll start with the positive. We'll start with the, what's a movie which is like, maybe this movie is underrated, but the acting is amazing in
all
this movie.
All across the board.
Yes. You can pick whatever genre you want, Bill.
Oh, my gosh, you guys are putting me on the spot.
It could be a recent film you saw.
So you don't have to go back to the annals of film history.
Can we talk about one, though, that was just this year? Because I would talk about Green Book.
Okay.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
To talk about the acting, then what made you just say that?
Here's what I would say. You know, you don't want to see acting.
Right.
Acting is something you don't want to see. I used to do stage work. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I did a play in New York, and I did a lot of – I always feel like when I watch something in stage, and I go to the Guthrie, I go to stuff – I sort of see acting because it's so big. When you watch something like Green Book, you know, Mahershala Ali and Vigo, these guys are so lost in this story and these characters. And I laugh so much more than I thought I was going to laugh, because if we go to movies, we don't talk about what happens. We talk about how movies make us feel.
Right.
I laughed. I cried. I cheered. I was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a film that I was through every single emotion. I got choked up at times. I laughed. And I just thought their performances were just, it was an unbelievable, you know, it's a road movie.
Right.
And those can sometimes be so stupid.
Yes.
They can be really stupid.
Wrong Turn was not stupid.
Yeah. They can be so stupid. And none of this made me think it was going to be stupid. I just was so much more entertained, but I knew I would be affected. So I was completely affected by the performances. It's really one of my favorite movies. Like, it's coming out at the right time with the right people. Sorry,
wonderful.
I just can't say enough about the film.
Oh, good, because that might be part of our conversation later when we're talking about Academy Awards.
I just go on. I geek out about it every time people talk about films.
Okay. So what's a film that you're like, you know, a lot of people saw this movie, but I think the acting was terrible?
Yeah. Any
genre.
But I think back of like, okay, Julia Roberts as Tinkerbell, or what what was that? You know.
Yep. That Peter Pan movie. The acting's terrible.
Oh, my God. You know what? And I hate to, you know, it's like, I use a scene in one of my classes that people just I'm trying to think of the singer. She was in oh my God, you guys, you put me on
Streisand?
The spot. No, young Duff.
Hillary Duff.
Yeah.
And we watched the scene of Hillary Duff crying, and she does a credible job, and everybody in the class is like, oh, I hate her. And I was like, okay, you don't know her, first of all. And number one, she probably got paid $5 million for doing this film, so mm-hmm. I would shut up
right?
until you make $5 million. But I think an example of Julia Roberts, I thought that was just so painful.
Okay.
And part of it is because I think it's like people don't understand this necessarily. I see the actors like, I want to do it all. Guess what? Actually, we can't do it all. We
right.
think we can, but I want to do comedy. I want to do drama. Jim Carrey is a comedic actor.
Right.
He does a credible job in some of the things, but he's a comedic actor.
Right.
Melissa McCarthy, she's a comedic actor. She's a character actor. Those kind of things. Julia Roberts is a leading lady.
Yes.
She's a leading lady, and she was trying to do this crazy character thing, and it
just didn't work. Yeah.
Sorry, Julia.
No, that's okay. I thought it would. I mean, again, let's not feel bad for her. She got paid a lot of money to be Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
She's fine.
Completely.
Well, just like any other projects, right? The majority of these leading actors take on things that they may not be passionate about, but mm-hmm. that allows them the fortitude to go and do an independent film, which they really care about. So sometimes that actually shows on screens, like you really don't care about.
Oh, you
right.
called it in.
Oh, gosh, totally.
You are literally just reading that, read it and read it. Like there was no acting there. You just read it.
I got to be honest with you.
And just read it.
That's how I felt William Dafoe was in Aquaman. I'm like, I don't feel like he wanted to be there.
Yes.
I think he was like, I don't get this character. I barely want to do this, but they're paying me a lot of money to show up and be a primary character. I was like, I've seen him be amazing and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This was whack. It was like, it was bad enough that I went and got a second bottle of wine in the middle of the movie.
You're kidding.
I hated Aquaman.
Well, it's also a long-ass movie.
It is. Oh, my God, that movie. And there's so much talking. Have you seen it yet, Bill?
Oh, yes, I have.
Oh, my gosh, so much talking in a movie that's supposed to be an action movie.
Why did you go to that movie, Bill?
My spouse really wanted to go.
Because of?
Well, we kind of think the leading guy is kind of good looking.
He is good looking, but it was distracting because they gave a whole host of good looking people garbage to say.
Exactly.
It was like, you know, because I think they're all decent actors.
Yes,
I think that they have done good work.
I would agree. I would have liked him a lot more had he been shirtless like 2/3 of the movie instead of the last 10%.
Just fighting. Just keep fighting.
I feel the same way though, like Avengers and crucified for
this. Why?
I some of those kind of films, they just seem so slapped together. Let's throw these, you know, there's a flimsy story.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody looks great, but everybody sort of gets their fight.
Jade and I pick these movies apart all the time. That's mostly what we do.
Okay,
so, I mean, we are very particular about our geek films. We are not afraid to pick them apart.
But I'm also very careful because as a person who just directed a feature in June, just saw a, you know, it's a picture lock, we're going to music. We watch hundreds of films every year. I know how much work it takes to just get a film done, so
right.
I always hate to be overly, overly critical. But my brain is like, if you got millions and millions of dollars to make a movie, let's do
and
something.
When Bill says, like, we watch hundreds and hundreds of movies.
We do.
Literally, Bill and I watch hundreds of movies.
That's
a
why
year.
When it's something that's a very pop culture genre film, I always wonder whether you've seen it, Bill. Like, I can usually tell what particular type of popcorn Jayton, because he and I have similar mentality. So
yes.
I can go,
yes.
like, there, and he's one of the few people that can give me a list. There are very worthy movies out there that I know that I should watch.
Yes.
And have no I am not going to do it. Like, I'm like, and he'll go, you should watch. I'm like, you are correct.
We'll
and I'm not going to see it.
We'll talk about it at the Oscar when you bring that up.
Oh, right? Yeah, because there's going to be a whole bunch of those movies where I'm like, I'm not watching this.
And trust me, as you young people talk about this, for me too, I always go, I'm getting older. Can I devote 2 hours to this if it's a, you know? But it's still a word of mouth. I have certain friends that if I'm iffy on a movie and a certain friend says, oh, you should see it, I will absolutely see it because I trust that person's opinion. But I do try and stay in touch with the pop culture stuff, though,
right.
because there's still movies of our time. There's mm-hmm. still movies that, you know, Crazy Rich Asians.
That mm-hmm.
Look at our year, you know, mm-hmm. that put a lot more people, Asian background, Asian Americans, up on the screen that changed the way we look at things. So the Black Panther the same way. If it wasn't a perfect movie, but it just created this dialogue. It created these experiences. Both films, for me, were very predictable, but they were still worth seeing.
Right. So let's move on to, we are going to talk about our Academy Awards now. And I thought that this would be a fantastic opportunity since I have you two experts and of
Bill,
my friends.
Get up on the stage, Bill.
And now.
You would be a great voice actor for this one. They don't need a host. They should just let you do all the voiceover.
Totally. They should just have, that's right, it should just be VO.
And welcome to the 2019 Academy Awards.
Oh, boy.
That would be perfect. I think we should do that. I don't think we need a host. No. The show's already too long, so why give another person? They're having a difficult time.
But they get
time.
To change clothes a couple times.
Oh, I don't even care.
We'll just change voiceover a couple times.
Maybe that would work. You can go. You can find like a female voice actor, and you guys can rotate through. You can go from your tenor to like somebody that's like a baritone to somebody that's a soprano.
Completely.
They'll just move through. So I am the person that I – do have a tendency to like the pageantry of award shows, so I will do my best to watch them. I'll be honest with you, I tried to be that person a few years ago where I would at least, once the awards nominations had come out, I tried to go and see all of the films. That was a worthy endeavor that I completely failed. I was like, I did not do it.
Well, you're a mom. Right. You got all sorts of things going on.
And
but
there
yeah.
were a list of films that I'm like, these are probably all very worthy films. As I mentioned before, Jane Uncle, you should see this. And then I just am like, I'm sure that is an excellent movie that I am not going to watch. kind of thing. So I'm glad you guys will balance out the curve. Because we're going to go through the big ones. I'm obviously not going to go through all of the categories because that's where the reason why this awards show is too long.
I'm with you.
And Jayden and I had talked earlier about when they were going to add in that best popular film garbage that they then decided to scrap that idea. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. So. Again, remind everybody that's listening, we're doing this the week before the nominations will come out, so we can go ahead and talk about this and then see how correct you are. Because
it's our March Madness.
Yes, it is like your March
Completely.
Madness. So let's start with Best Picture. And so Best Picture, like, let me get this right. It could have, like, a minimum of, like, five to ten. Like
yeah,
so
yeah.
And so that's a fluctuating number of people that can be in there. Do you think that this year, based upon the films that came out within the time period that was eligible, that we're going to have a lot of films in the running or not so many films in
I'm
the running?
I'm gonna guess eight.
Eight. Okay, so you're going with eight. So I'm like, and I'm going through, I kind of went through a bunch of different articles online, and I kind of averaged out what I thought they were going to do.
Okay.
So I'll go from this one, and you could tell me if you think that we're missing anybody, if there's anything. So when I averaged out, I saw A Star Is Born came up on a lot of lists. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
No, this is for Best Picture.
For Best Picture. Black Klansman came up on a lot of lists. Did you guys think that for sure will make that list?
I did not.
You do not. Okay, Bill, what do you think?
You know what? It's one I haven't seen.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to make the list.
Okay, that's a possibility. I will put a little mark by it. We don't think that one
we
will
don't think it's
going
to make the list.
Because you both said we don't think
Correct.
It, so that's a Dina. Okay, how about Green Book? We talked about
that. Yes, it will absolutely make the list.
We
yes,
don't think
it
that.
Just won the Golden Globe. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what about Roma? Have either of you had a chance to see that yet?
I've seen Roma, and I think it will be.
Okay, because I know that there is a lot of buzz out there in all of the channels that I pay attention to talking about that film. So, Jayden, what is Roma about, just for all of us laymen out there that have not seen it and probably will not watch it?
It's an Iñárritu film, and it's a Netflix original. It's about this it's a Mexican family, so it's foreign language, and it's about specifically about this woman. And it's
housekeeper
it's
kind
housekeeper.
Of woman?
Yeah, and it's her day-to-day life and the trials and tribulations, but the reason it will get nominated for Best Picture, and it's not a story that, I mean, it's not an extraordinary story by any means, just your day-to-day. The reason it'll get nominated is because of the stylized way it was shot. It is cinematographically probably one of the most beautiful films I've seen in a while. So that plus some really, 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 as we're talking about acting, solid acting from people you don't know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that is going to put it over the edge. And
that's
again,
what it seems like.
The director as well. So.
Now, we had one other film that came up on a lot of the websites I was looking at that, again, it was another one that I feel is a very worthy film that I probably am not going to watch. The Favorite, are you both familiar with this one?
Yes.
Okay.
Festival, the Favorite is The Favorite was not my favorite.
Okay.
was one of, was not
Why
my favorite.
Why is that?
It's a kitschy, it's weird, it's such a esoteric film.
Okay.
I think the acting is really, really good in it as a construct. I think the film falls short. Now, that being said, and you can disagree with me, I think it will be nominated because of the caliber of the talent that is in the film.
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being nominated. You know, it's a period drama, or a period comedy, actually, based on a true story. I thought I was going to like it more, and I didn't like it that much.
Okay.
But, you know, as I talked to some colleagues here at the festival office, Sabra was like, she loved it.
Okay.
She loved it. All of the lead actress, she just won the Golden Globe.
Yes.
The other two are constantly nominated. They're you know, you've got Academy Award winning actors in it. I think it's going to be
nominated. It'll at least be on the list.
It'll at least be on the list.
All right, now we're getting to some other ones that I have at least heard of and probably watched these, you know, kind of thing. So we'll get to, we did mention Black Panther. Do we think that that is going to end up in the Best Picture category? Okay,
yep.
Which I am very happy for. If it doesn't, I think it'll be one of those big snubs, like when The Dark Knight, everybody's like, it's for sure going to at least get nominated.
If they were
and then
that
it didn't.
Popular category, they were doing it because of Black Panther.
Completely.
Like they were literally doing it because of Black Panther. So when they scratch that, they better put Black Panther in the Best Picture category. Because, by the way, it deserves it. It's a really good, solid.
Well, I liked it. I liked it because it also had, there was some, we talked about action movies a little bit before. It had some heart, you know,
right.
Where this person came from. There was some essence behind it and all that kind of stuff. So I think it'll be nominated.
We have a few more slots if we're going with the guest that we're going to have eight pictures in the Best Picture category this year. So what do you guys think about Vice? I know that that seems to be the one that there's a lot of discussion and back and forth. It's very polarizing whether that one is a good movie, a terrible movie.
I liked the film.
Okay.
I loved the acting, Christian Bale, but that's kind of what you expect from Christian Bale. It's just character actor to the T. If you liked The Big Short, you would like Vice.
Okay. Okay.
So in that capacity, I don't know. I think Vice came out a little too late. People are just now seeing it.
Yep.
So it might hurt it that it came out a little bit too late.
So that's a maybe?
That's a maybe for me.
Okay.
That I don't know. I think it will be.
I think it'll be nominated because Christian Bale is probably the front runner right now for Best Actor, and I think it goes hand in hand.
Okay.
And politics, it's political. I actually wished it would have come out a number of years ago because it's been a while.
It's a little dated.
Well, it's a little dated.
It's a little dated, but not dated enough.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of felt like. It wasn't.
It was just
an homage to datedness.
Completely,
like, not completely.
Completely.
Okay, what about Bohemian Rhapsody? What do you guys think about that?
It will be nominated.
It'll be nominated once again.
You know, as you mentioned, Kristen Bale being a front runner, I actually think Rami Malek will be the front runner.
Okay.
Maybe. That could absolutely be. You know, some of the other award shows kind of do drama and comedy drama, musical comedy, when the Academy Awards throws it all together.
Right.
Shakes it all up.
Which will be interesting because there is such a little smorgasbord, like a little stew in these categories. A couple of the ones that were that people were kind of like teetering with. I know we also had some mentions of If Beale Street Could Talk.
Mm-hmm. Literally my favorite film of the year.
Okay, yeah. Should that move up? Should we have nine? Or should we kick somebody out?
No, I'm not going to kick anybody off.
Okay.
Because all of those are deserving film. Now, do I think If Beale Street Could Talk could make the Best Picture list? No, not with the contenders that we currently
have. Gotcha.
If they wanted to maximize and have 10, then yes, it is. Like, if I were to cut it off, and I'm going to say 8, but if there was a 9 and a 10, then Beale Street would be
and Barry Jenkins is hot, you know? Uh-huh. Right, it's like he's kind of on a roll, and
Beale Street, like I said, is my favorite film of the year.
Okay. Yep. And then I know First Man. People were talking about First Man a lot. You rolled your eyes, Jaden. Do you think maybe or not maybe?
I thought it was overhyped. It's a good, obviously it's based on a true story. The acting is solid. I just don't think it makes the top. I don't think it makes the Best Picture.
I don't think it's changing culture at all.
Now, I know one of the things they make a big deal about is Best Director. I'm going to skip this during our conversation because it's one of the ones where I'm bored. I kind of go, okay, sure. I know that the director is important, but I don't want to see them talk. I don't, you know, and some of the people that are on this list are people that have probably talked at the festival as just a layperson. Their speeches are always boring to me. What do you guys think?
There is no doubt that sometimes, you know, it's much like screenwriters or something.
Right.
You know, sometimes these men and women are.
Spike Lee should win that award. Just give them.
He is on the list. Bradley Cooper's there.
Oh, no, you're absolutely
our
right.
Our friend Peter Farrelly is on there.
Peter
Farrelly, if we did
I
for like, he was great, you know, for
Green
Book.
He's coming from a comedy to more or less a dramedy.
Yep.
Ryan Coogler, if he elects to, to attend, you know, might be thrown in that list for Black Panther. You never
Spike
know.
Lee.
Just give it to Spike Lee.
You know how it is when they finally gave it to Scorsese.
Right.
Yeah.
Give it to.
It's Spike. I would tend to agree. And you're absolutely right. I just think directors tend to be technicians and
yes.
you know, all that kind of stuff. They're not spokespeople necessarily.
No.
So we run that in the festival. Sometimes it's like, do you know how to talk?
Correct.
Yeah, tell
you
us about
you make great
your,
work.
Tell us about your film. That's not a trick question.
Right.
Tell us about your film.
Right. Okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one that I'm just sitting at home going, okay, I'm going to go get popcorn. All right. Let's get to the other ones I do like. I do enjoy Best Actress and Best Actor.
Yes.
So those are the ones that we all know these people, and they are probably going to give a fantastic speak.
Yep.
So let's start with Best Actress, ladies first. On the list of what I saw as I was aggregating things out on the internet, Glenn Close came up quite often with The Wife. Have you guys seen
yep.
The Wife?
I have not seen The Wife.
I have not seen The Wife.
It went in and out, and
okay.
I've heard really good things. She won the Golden Globe.
Is it something that would be on your list to add into the hundreds of films that you both watch? Does this have some sort of resonance with you where you want to see it?
I didn't know The Wife existed.
Gotcha. Okay,
like, it was
fair
one
enough.
Of those things, as soon as Glenn Close won, and or at least when we were hearing the Golden Globe, like, and Golden Globe like goes to Glenn Close. I'm like, Glenn Close was nominated for what now? What's this movie? Now, that might be my fault because we are so buried in film. And
right.
Completely.
It's just coming out like such a fast pace.
Yes.
I hadn't heard of that.
I hadn't actually heard of it either, but
okay.
She just won the Critics' Choice.
Mm-hmm.
Critics'
yep.
Choice Awards and, you know, won Golden Globes. She tied actually with Lady Gaga, but she's a credible actor.
Right.
So she should be on the list if
yes.
it's.
Okay.
Just because we haven't seen it, I still support it.
And then you did make mention of Lady Gaga.
Yep.
She's, of course, getting a lot of buzz out there. We know she's going to be on the list, right? If not, that means that the world has tilted on
well,
its axis and something weird happened,
I think you're absolutely right. I think there's a couple things going in her favor, obviously. I think they'll win Best Song.
Okay.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they want Lady Gaga for sure there because she wears these fabulous dresses.
Yes.
So,
She'll be entertaining.
You've got to be nominated
yes.
for sure.
Yes. How about Olivia Colman from The Favourite?
I think she's a dark horse.
Okay.
That would not surprise me if she won the Best Actress.
Speaking of dark horses, Melissa McCarthy is on the list a lot for her role in Can You Ever Forgive Me, which we also showed at the festival.
Twin Cities Film Fest.
I think she did a solid, solid job. I actually liked her supporting actor
mm-hmm.
more,
okay.
Richard Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. More, I think he made her better as
okay.
an actress in the film. Again, Melissa McCarthy, you think about her as a comedic actor.
Yes.
So this is obviously not that role. So I could see, you know, when Steve Carell
right.
kind of broke through. So this is Melissa McCarthy's chance to break through that genre a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They also have been throwing around Emily Blunt from Mary Poppins Returns. Do you think that's just a little, like,
I mean,
fun popcorny type thing? I was a little surprised to see that.
It is. The Quiet Place come out earlier this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would have nominated Emily Blunt for
Quiet
Place.
Oh, my God.
And not Mary
you guys,
Poppins.
In Quiet Place,
they're saying that's one of those ones that all the lists I saw, they were in those categories that we don't pay attention to, like best sound editing
yeah,
and best sound
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
That one is like
but
best
sound editing for the
Quiet
Place. Right.
I understand.
Exactly.
But the acting that Emily Blunt does, like this, I don't know if you better go see this movie. But like that being said, like her giving birth in the bathtub.
Oh,
and she has to be quiet.
Oh
my
tense.
God!
Oh yes, I will not be watching
acting.
That.
As
it was
we're
very
talking about
tense.
Acting today. That's acting.
Oh my God! I was so tense. I yelled like I mean, and I grabbed the arm. I was
okay. So that should get bumped up, though. Okay, so we'll look for that.
I would keep Emily Blunt, but just change
for
the
that movie. Okay. How about Elsie Fisher from 8th grade? That's that name is so I know that.
Wow.
I thought that
How old is she now? Like
15, 16?
No, something like that.
Yeah. I think Bo Burnham did a really great job, and I think he could be up there for best director, honestly. I think she played herself.
Okay.
More or less, which actually makes it more believable.
Yes.
Completely.
Typically, an actor is supposed to just play the character,
okay.
who they are. So I don't know if I would elevate, because again, Best Actress is 5. You don't
yes.
have 5 to 10.
Right.
And
right.
there are a lot of, I was surprised that there were some films in here that I didn't know Nicole Kidman was in a movie this year. I did not see Destroyer or even remember seeing a poster for it. But I saw it on the website mm-hmm. that she might be up for one. And I thought maybe that was just because she's Nicole Kidman.
Well,
I'm
but
like,
she was also in Boy Erased. She mm-hmm. was also in.
She could have gotten a Best
you know,
Supporting Actress nod for that, yeah.
Yeah, she was in a couple. I think she's still working.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad that she is out there and she is keeping busy. So that'll be interesting. And they also were maybe Yalitza Aparicio from Roma. That name is kind of out there, so we'll see if that goes. So I think that that's a very diverse category for Best Actress this year.
I would say
it's a very strong category.
Now, Best Actor. Again, we only have five, so we'll see how this goes. And so the names that we're seeing, you guys let me know if you think any of these are odd. So Christian Bale, you guys think?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Bradley Cooper from A Star is Born.
Sure.
You don't sound very
convinced. No. I feel good about it.
Okay.
He's great.
Rami Malek from Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, it was great.
Viggo Mortensen from Green Book. We all said we liked that. Mm-hmm. John David Washington from Black Klansman.
See, I liked Black Klansman, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was, if there was like the was it the SAG Awards that give the best ensemble, I could see him and the other. Like Adam Driver is in the film.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah,
like I could see them as a collective.
Okay.
Being a strong acting cast together. I just still can't give it alone to. Because I've seen other things that John David Washington has been in.
Yes.
He kind of played the same kind of character.
Oh,
for
so
me.
That's just his jam.
That was kind of his jam.
Okay.
It wasn't a bad thing. I think he was a right. He was
well, I hope
right.
that he wins just because our friend Dean Edwards does a really good Denzel and John David Washington, and so we can have just Dean Edwards come in and just pretend that he was at the award show.
The other thing I would like to see, and again, these guys are all worthy of it, but if you notice there's a sort of pattern of, you know, even for Best Pictures, Best Actor, it's actors portraying people from history.
Correct.
And it would be nice to have an actor play a new role that's not based on something from history. You know what?
John Krasinski for A Quiet Place.
So you guys, I think that's on our list of things that we're gonna, because that didn't even pop up as an option. There were some other people that were throwing around Willem Dafoe from At Eternity's Gate.
Here's that's exactly the same thing happened with Get Out.
Yes.
It came out too early, and it was so good that people forget about like the fact that it existed. I had to ask that question to you guys.
You're like, did it come out?
A Quiet Place come out in 2018?
Yes, it did. That year, it seems like it was so long ago, and it just happened. All right, so no big surprises, we don't think, in Best Actress, Rebecca.
No.
Okay, Best Supporting Actress. We'll do these Best Supporting Actress and Best Supporting Actor. Again, when I was looking at these things online, it was all the names that I knew. It wasn't anything that I was surprised for, and I was a little disappointed in that. So Regina King, I feel like I personally want her to win, even though I have not seen any of the films of any of these people that were nominated.
Oh, my.
But I have seen her outdo news,
she did
doing
really
her interviews. I just adore her.
Yep.
Regina King should win the best.
Everything about her is just fantastic.
I mean, Amy Adams is great as well.
Amy Adams is getting kicked around for Vice. Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone, both for The Favorite. You know,
I think they're
going
to cancel each other out.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to.
Claire Foy in First Man was an option as well.
I think Claire Foy is such a great actress, period. If it was Regina King or Claire Foy, I'd be good with either of them.
I did feel like there were a few wild cards that were out there. They were kicking around Linda Cardellini from Green Book. Sure. Also Nicole Kidman.
She also was great.
Yes,
she
and this is when Nicole Kidman did have an option when I was doing some deep diving. Oh. And I did a few people thought from Boy Erased that she might get a Best Supporting Actress nod for Boy Erased.
I actually think Best Actress category, Supporting Actress category is more of a tougher category than Best Actress category to slip in five out of these amazing performances that we've seen.
And that's where Michelle Yeoh from Crazy Rich Asians, they were saying that might work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I did really enjoy that film. I thought that it did it did great work.
She
and
plays
it was
the
fun.
Mom, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She reminded me of my mom.
Predictable. Predictable.
Really, you didn't dig her? She was just thought.
Just in general. Again, I appreciate what it did for a societal sort of thing and visibility sort of thing. I just thought it was a very predictable rom-com.
Fair enough. True. I kind of hoped just because I was like the lead actress in that one was just doing so all right and living her best life on her own that I kind of didn't want her to end up back with that guy at the end of it. Spoiler alert for everybody who's not seen Crazy Rich Asians or read the book. I was kind of like, you kind of don't need him. You were a professor and just dope. All right. Best supporting actor.
We didn't mention Meryl Streep anywhere. Did she not have
a movie? I don't think so. She didn't. I didn't see her at all on the web. So I don't think.
How dare she take a year off?
Right? Like
how did we get through
my
a whole year?
God.
Here's the thing, though. She will be, regardless, she'll be sitting front and center on all of these things. Everybody
and
will
people
like, hey,
will all
no.
think she's like, oh, wait, wasn't she in? That was Nicole Kidman. That was Nicole Kidman.
There's a reserved seat for Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks on the first row of the Academy Awards.
Didn't we have some politician, though, say something about Meryl Streep not being a good actress?
Oh, yeah, but we don't listen to them kind of thing. It only matters what we think in this room.
You're absolutely right. We are the vortex.
So we are going through our you two are giving me your prognosis. Yeah, and I was like, and I said it poorly. So, but we're gonna go through what we think will be the nominees that come out next Tuesday. So, mm-hmm. Best Supporting Actor. What do you guys think here? Of course, we're going back through the same films. There didn't seem to be anything surprising in here except for Beautiful Boy with Timothée Chalamet popped up when we got to this one.
He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Could see him being nominated. Now,
okay.
Do I think he will be? I don't think so.
Do you think this is all Mahershala Ali's to lose? You know, I know Sam Elliott was out there, and I have the biggest crush on Sam Elliott. I have for years. Even him in garbagey movies I'll watch. Like, when he was in Jumping Jack Flash, I was like, I want to be Whoopi Goldberg. I was so excited.
You like mustaches.
I love it. And that voice. So there's somebody up like, yeah.
How can you still be so good looking
exactly.
and being so old?
I normally do not like mustaches, but
really?
There's Sam Elliott. It works for him.
You'll put up with it.
Yes,
huh?
I will comb it for him and help him condition. It'll be great.
Richard Grant.
Yes.
Yep. He's on, I think so,
yeah.
is good. I think it's Mahershala Ali's to lose, though.
Your Adam Driver did pop up on a lot of these lists.
You know who else I hope, again, give Black Panther a little bit of love, Michael B. Jordan.
That's an option.
He did a really good job in playing Killmonger, so...
There's lots of those out of there. All of those names keep getting thrown around, so we'll see how that one goes. So that'll be fun. I want to talk about these two because these are two categories that I normally throw out the window and don't pay attention to. This is when I eat snacks. Best Original Screenplay and Best Adapted Screenplay. Tell me why I should care as just a layman.
Why you should care?
Yes.
Coming in from behind the scenes.
Right.
Kind of working on, films and commercials, and it is extremely hard to find good content.
Okay.
Good scripts. We have a friend, a festival friend, a close friend of ours who just won the Nickel Award.
Yep.
Winona Wilms, and she's a Native American actress. She's been, a writer. She's been working at her craft for 15 years strong.
Okay.
Almost going on 20 years, and people are now coming up to her and asking her to adapt a book.
Okay.
Adapt this book. That is hard work, people.
Okay.
So I would
thankless.
All right.
Absolutely. So I would actually go, again, we want originality.
Okay.
But both of these categories actually pay homage to originality because they're coming in from not from a recycled film. Again, nothing against, the fifth version of Star is Born.
Right.
But these are adapted screenplays, so from books to on screen.
Now,
Bill,
that collection of people that come up there, Bill and Jayden, who are the people, if you have a best original screenplay and a best adapted screenplay, who gets to come up there and get the award? Who all those
folks? The writers.
Folks? Okay.
And typically there's a writer. Sometimes there's other people that script doctor kind
okay.
of people that they'll collaborate on script. And there's also like story. Somebody came up with a story is maybe different than whoever wrote it.
Okay.
Makes a difference. But from my perspective, and again, there are a few actors who write, but actors would not have anything to do if there weren't people writing the
script.
That
is true. Okay.
They are absolutely the unsung heroes of this.
Okay.
No question about it. It's where these stories virtually come from.
Right.
So... Yes, they're not the sexiest people maybe in the world, but they're the people that come up with the stories.
Okay,
so.
I will pay attention this year and not get snacks. I'll do that.
So I would by the way, I would say I hope and I wish Beale Street wins adapted.
Yeah.
I did see that was an option as well. It's a lot of the films that we thought.
Yeah.
So Black Panther, A Star is Born, Can You Ever Forgive Me came up on a number of the lists that I saw out there, and Black Klansman. So, and then for Best Original Screenplay, Eighth Grade popped up on most of the lists that
mm-hmm.
I saw. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think 8th grade should get it.
Okay,
yeah,
so that'll
be really fun.
I think Bo should get that one.
Yep.
Once we get to Best Original Score, that is when I start paying attention again because I do like soundtracks. So
yes.
So First Man, If Beale Street Could Talk, came up again. Isle of Dogs, which I thought was surprising. I enjoyed that, but
I didn't think that.
Black Panther and Black Klansman all came for that. And then Mary Poppins Returns, and I was kind of like, I don't know if I think that should make the list.
I want to give it to Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
That soundtrack is amazing.
Okay, so we'll see how
give
that
goes. Childish Gambino. Come on.
No.
Just come on.
But then you start looking at things like best costume design. And best costume design I thought was interesting because that one is always, that's when you start getting into the more popular films and films that like people like me, I feel like, had watched. Yep. You got a thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Mary Poppins, The Favorite, Black Panther. Mm-hmm. Mary Queen of Scots. And there's always something historic that's very involved like that.
Well, that's
where
The Favorite comes in. So mm-hmm.
They are also looking at, I saw on a couple of lists out there, Crazy Rich Asians, which I would be on board with because some of those outfits were over the top and insane.
Sure.
Insanely good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like trend setting, all that kind of stuff. But I think things like, I remember when Mad Max a couple years ago, wasn't that up for costumes or something? Because it wasn't, there were no corsets, there were no, it was just like, it's just like, bring stuff alive, reinforce characters with what they're wearing, and so those are good examples. It doesn't always have to be, again, something with ruffles and corsets.
Right. And then I think we get to the categories that I end up paying attention to these because they normally have films in them that I have watched, but I do kind of think that they make the show long because we start talking about best visual effects. Mm-hmm. That's when there's a lot of the films that, as a geek, I've seen all these movies.
Yep.
But it's back to the people who make all the movies that I love.
Yeah.
Look amazing, seem to be terrible at talking and accepting awards.
Yeah,
and that's unfortunate, you know, kind of thing. Because I want them to get their awards, and I always think it's funny when a movie that I love is like now they get to say they're an Academy Award winning film. But do I really care that Avengers: Infinity War wins an Academy Award or not? I don't think I care.
No,
like
you just want to go and escape and
right.
Yeah.
Because even movies that I admit look really great that are up for best visual effects were things like Solo, A Star Wars Story. And does that need an Academy Award?
No. But the hardworking people behind the scenes.
True.
Completely.
They need recognition. So I think that goes a long way in saying, look, we understand that you're working on this popcorn film, which will make $5 billion, but it was still hard work. How many hours were spent
right.
in just one frame, like it's.
Then I have a question. So if you are one of those people that puts in all of the sweat equity to make these films look great, if your film wins an Academy Award, does that increase your paycheck or your ability? Is that something that you really want to put on your resume?
You see that in sports all the time.
Oh, sure.
Like you win the World Series or you win the Super Bowl, you get an extra bonus of whatever.
Right.
I don't think that's the case in film.
Okay.
You know, you know what? There's lots of conversations about Academy Award winning directors who it's. Birds chirp. They hear nothing for a while.
Okay.
You know, so sometimes things happen really quickly. I think it does raise your sphere of influence a little bit. But I think by then, you know, we also have to remember some of these people worked on stuff and it was 2 years ago and finally it's out. And so I think they all have moved on. But
And majority of the people in the audiences who are audiences and like the commercial audiences that don't realize like these films were in, like some of these people worked on this film, like Bill said, 3 years ago. And
they
finally got distribution. So they already worked on three other films.
Since they oh yeah, that's right. I did the music for, you know, and or whatever it is. So yeah, I think, but I, you know, to me, those kind of, as long as there's a good story behind whatever the special effects are, it shouldn't be just about it. Because again, I even get, you know, and if people like action, I like some action kind of movies, but after like 30 seconds of a car chase, I'm done.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did think that there were some other films like that's where
Baby Driver.
Welcome to Marwen was like one of those things that didn't. I thought that movie was going to do. Jayden, I think you and I talked about that, where we thought that movie was going to do better than it did, and it just womp, you know, kind of thing. But
I
it looks neat.
It. I think it looks weird.
It's a weird
like
film.
Good weird is what I thought
it
was.
Welcome to Marwen.
Yeah.
It's a weird film. I think Steve Carell does an amazing job, and again, it's based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
He does again embody the character now. So it's like The Favorite. Either you hate it or you're kind of like I could care less about it.
Well, I'm excited to see how these things go. Is there any other particular categories that, you know, a lot of times people just kind of like gloss over that you're like, no, really, you guys should stop down and pay attention to that? Did we hit the big ones? Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah, I think so. It's what people are sort of talking about.
Yeah, there isn't anything that kind of jumps out at me. I mean, I would go with, you know, I'm again, we watch so many films.
Right.
When the best short wins.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I get excited about it because I get to find out about what the shorts, Academy qualified shorts were. So then I go back.
And maybe and like documentary as well. Do you like those
so
ones?
I tend to go back and watch those because I just discovered them through the Academy. So they actually help me discover good films for the next, you know, quarter two.
Mm-hmm. And usually by the time we get to animated feature, I pick I perk back up as well and go, oh, I saw that one.
Saw that. Well, you got
Pixar is going to win everything. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I really think this year that it's going to be Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah. I think should be on there. That, I mean, other ones that were out there that, you know, it'll be like that. Ralph Breaks the Internet, Incredibles 2 was amazing,
so the
kind of thing.
How far away are we? You know, we had the conversation of like popular movies being just regular movies or Best Picture. How
right.
far away are we from the saying, like, forget the animated film. These are just solid films.
I think
instead of just family films. They're really popular. People love them, enjoy them. There's stories behind them. Up should have been up there for the Best Picture.
I feel like Into the Spider-Verse is kind of one of those genre-breaking films that could do that kind of thing because it is just a very well-constructed story that happens to be animated. You know, and then we have stories like Isle of Dog that I think they were saying that too. So that's something that, again, you hope that eventually we all have some sort of parity and equity and it all you like what you like.
Right.
Because that is a lot of work and that then the voice actors that do those things – that's still acting. You know, that's a
true.
Lot of work.
I think part of it, you also have to think of who makes these selections.
Right.
You know, in the end, who makes these selections? These are not the people's choice.
Right.
These are the Academy's choice.
Exactly.
The Academy tends to be older, skews white.
Yes.
You know, so even as you say, well, this is what I would pick, this is what I'd pick,
mm-hmm.
you know, what do people... What are the
right?
The Academy,
oh, I know that I
yeah.
am not. That's
not
why I told
typical,
Jay to work on that. We need to get. I need a ballot.
Yeah, you know. So anyway, I always think, you know, it's like, what would I like to see, but what will probably win? And a lot of times,
yes.
it's just based on who's currently members of the Academy. It's just the nature of the beast.
And I was just thinking, just how, you know, we start talking about how so many of these award show. It used to be destination programming, and like so many things, just the viewership has dwindled, and they've tried to figure out how to make them more marketable again. And I do think that a lot of the shine of why you would like these things is back because you didn't have anything else to watch. So having the pageantry of seeing all these people,
mm-hmm.
you know, you would see all of these celebrities and all these people acting. You'd see them as characters, and then you would see them get up there and speak and go, oh, my, this is my... my window into them as a real person, even though they were still in a persona and all dressed up. I think that was part of the appeal. When now we have social media and everybody has an Instagram thing, or we get to see videos of Chris Hemsworth hanging out with his family and doing little things. So we don't need shows like
completely.
This as much to give us that background.
Well, and the awards shows were started by the studios. They
right.
wanted to glitz and glamour and elevate their stars and make them, you know, superhuman kind
right.
of people and superhuman whatnot. And so I can see where it's maybe dwindled because you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen through the keyhole for
right.
a lot of these people. We don't
now we go through their Twitter feed and say, is this what you really do
no,
in your spare time?
And if you want attention, what do? You stumble walking up to the red carpet.
Exactly.
Or make a really political speech. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's
or
bad.
Or get mad that somebody put the Fiji water behind you or the, you know, kind of thing.
Well,
you know,
and working with actors and, you know, I say, so are you going to watch the Academy Awards? Or did you watch the Golden Globes? No, not really. For a lot of people, and they're like, well, why do you watch them? It's like, well, it's kind of a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what people talk about. And
right.
so you sort of engage on it. We're part of the business, so.
Well, I know in the past, the Twin Cities Film Fest has had like a viewing party for the Oscars.
Yes.
Do you guys plan on doing
of
that again
course.
This year?
Yes. So for Hollywood's big night.
Yes.
We are having.
We can't say the.
We are.
Yes.
No.
OSCAR word.
We are having a viewing party at no cost. So
yes.
It's a complimentary.
The O party.
That sounds salacious.
The O
party. Yeah, the Oprah.
I think
party.
Oprah's coming.
Yeah. No, we are going to. So on Sunday, the 24th, at the
yep.
Icon Theaters, we'll just have a viewing party. So just come on down. Enjoy yourself.
It'll be free.
Yeah.
It's yep.
Free.
Suggest a donation. Dress for the night. We're going to be in Los Angeles for
and
the
I'll
Oscars,
like,
so
I
won't
be
here.
Physically in town either. But we're
really? You're
no,
both?
We're both gone.
No, this
but
is the first time in like years.
Yeah,
it's
but
just,
we have people,
a great team that will
we have a team that'll be
well,
putting
I'll
it
be
together.
Here. I'll pop in and like watch everybody.
Oh,
then,
do.
Kind of
do. We're collaborating.
We're partnering with
Team
another nonprofit called Team Women, and it's all about they have women executives, so they're all about getting the women executives out there and the fact that any woman could be an executive. That's their kind of the mission. So we're partnering with them and getting some of their constituents out to the viewing party as well.
Well, Bill, I know that you're very busy with all of the stuff going on with the Twin Cities Film Fest, but you are still doing all of your amazing acting coaching
yes.
and your workshops. And so is the best
yep.
place for people to find that information your website?
The website, yeah. BillCooper.info, actually. It's not BillCooper.com, but
gotcha.
It's BillCooper.info. When I went to get a website about, 10, 12, 15 years ago.
Yes.
BillCooper.com was taken. BillCooper.net was taken. BillCooper.tv was taken.
Wow.
So I ended up going like BillCooper.info. So you can get info on Bill Cooper at BillCooper.info.
And we will link to all of that. And, of course, people
that'd
can
be fantastic.
Find all new things. Yeah, so we'll do all that.
I teach most of the year. I take a little break when it comes about August until after the festival just because it gets so crazy busy. But I'm there.
And, Chayton, do you have anything coming up with the Film Fest in the next month or so? What do we have going on?
We actually have a screening tomorrow of a Minnesota Shorts showcase. We actually have our Actor Expo at the end of March. So as we talk about acting here in this particular podcast, check out TwinCitiesFilmFest.org. And we do have an Actor Expo. It's an annual thing. This is our 10th year doing it, or 9th year doing it. And it's an all-day conference with meet and greet with agents, meet and greet with filmmakers and casting directors. So if you have any kind of interest in getting back into acting or exploring acting, it's an amazing fun day.
Perfect. Well, and you can always be part of our show if you have any suggestions. We encourage you to just go make sure that you like us, that you give us your feedback. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Be Our Geek. And we love to hear from you because sometimes people go, you know what, you should talk about this. And I'm like, yes, we should. And you're doing all the work for me and I don't have to do as much of it. So we encourage you to do that. And again, you can find all of these episodes and more if you go to our website, Be Our Geek, or TwinCitiesFilmFest.org. And Bill, thank you so much for joining us.
Really fun. I always like to talk about movies and
acting.
Yes.
And so we will have to have you back on, and we can see if all of your predictions were actually correct next time we do a show. Thank you again for listening to our show, everyone. Thanks for being part of Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something.